Chapter 1. "Hello there, young lady. It's good to see you," a man said as he crossed over the threshold into London's Lattes. London Cohen smiled and greeted the older gentleman. "Hey, Dally. Where have you been hiding yourself?"
"Oh, you know how it is.
Staying busy. Thought I'd come gaze at your pretty mug before going to see what's biting at the pier."
"Ah, I'm glad you stopped in. You want your usual?"
The older man nodded his gray head, and London tried as she always did to pinpoint his age. She'd guess him to be in his 60s, though to look at him, 70 wouldn't be a stretch. Still, she couldn't help but think the deep lines and wrinkles were more from a life hard-lived than the Carolina sun.
"It amazes me how you remember. Haven't been able to make it in for a while."
"Ah, but trying to remember my customers' orders helps keep me sharp," she said, tapping a finger to her temple before setting to work on his large decaf coffee with half and half and two sugars.
"Saw on the internet where you were honored for serving food and coffee to the emergency aid workers after the storm."
She'd never get used to people calling a hurricane a simple storm, but she supposed as a coastal native, Dally had earned his salt life credentials.
"I was happy to do it. It was a nice evening."
Last September, the monster Cat 5 hurricane had been downgraded to a Cat 1 before hitting the Wilmington, North Carolina area, but it had still caused extensive damage to homes and businesses. Roofs were blown off, trees downed, roads blocked, flooding. But farther inland, the damage had been far worse, with record-setting floods due to the rain that just kept coming. The moment she'd been able to open her doors, she'd brewed as much coffee as the power crews, emergency services, police, and recovery volunteers could drink. Post-hurricane cleanup was a community event that included coffee and encouragement. The recognition barbecue had been nice, but 9 months after last year's hurricane meant watching the spaghetti models and Atlantic again, the other definition of salt life living. A shadow formed on the other side of her door just as she set Dally's cup of brew in front of him, and she cocked her head to get a better glimpse of her next customer. Instead of growing in size, however, the shadow shrank as a golden retriever appeared. The large dog hesitated on the threshold before entering, with a familiar tongue-hanging tilt of his beautiful head as he stared at them.
"Rocco, is that you?"
Dally swiveled on the barstool to face the door. The golden's entire body wriggled with every tail wag as London quickly made her way around the counter, meeting Rocco halfway, where he'd stopped to survey the nearly empty coffee shop and her dachshund Rosie's empty bed.
"Oh, Rocco, it is you," she said after a quick glance at his collar.
"Hey, buddy. Where have you been? I've missed you." London knelt on her cleaned and polished floor and lavished the animal with rubs and pets and even a few kisses, all the while hoping that maybe this time she could meet Rocco's owner. Whoever owned the precious dog had to know what a joy the well-behaved canine was. Rocco had appeared out of the blue in May, alone and seemingly worn out. He'd visited a few times for a period of about a week, but even though both London and her sister Ireland had called the number on Rocco's collar, the owner hadn't returned the calls. Rocco appeared, curled up beside Rosie and slept, then got up and left once nap time was over, enjoying a few head pats and good boy praises on his way out the door. Then Rocco had simply stopped visiting.
"Don't worry.
Your girlfriend is..." Rosie's collar bell jingled as the little dog made her way out of her den behind the counter and quickly ran to greet their visitor.
"See? She's missed you too."
"Don't forget me," Dally said from behind them, drawing Rocco's attention. "Come here, boy." The dog hurried over to Dally and rubbed himself against the man's legs. Dally lavished the dog with attention, looking a bit misty-eyed for a moment.
"Hey there, Rocco. How you doing, buddy?"
"Dally," London said, frowning at the man's thickened voice.
"You okay?"
"Ah, fine. Just fine.
Today's been full of good news is all.
Oh. Wanna share? I could always use some good news.
Dali smiled down in Rocco's sweet face. Well, Rocco's back, and my son's in town.
That's wonderful. So you've talked? Things between you are okay now?
Baristas and bartenders had a few things in common. One being that people had a tendency to pull up a stool and talk when things were slow. Or the customers felt low.
Dali was one of those people.
He'd stopped in for coffee one day and lingered, sharing just enough information for London to know all was not right with his world when it came to his family.
No, no. Nothing as good as that. But I like knowing Scout's close by, even if I don't get to talk to him.
Hey, you never know. Maybe it's the first step and you'll reconnect soon. Rocco and Rosie greeted each other, but then the larger dog looked around the interior of the nearly empty business before giving her a slow, brown-eyed blink.
Don't give me that look, she stated defensively.
You haven't been here to look all cute with Rosie for everyone to post on social media.
Rocco and Rosie were quite the attraction, she said to Dali, shoving herself to her feet and returning to the counter where Dali sat.
You wouldn't believe how many people have stopped in hoping to see the two of them together, because they'd seen them online. They were four-legged celebrities.
They are a pretty sight.
Dali sipped his coffee, and he and London both watched the dogs as Rocco followed Rosie to the dog bed across the room.
Maybe this time I shouldn't call your owner so you'll be able to come back.
Uh-oh. Better make a run for it while you can, Dali, London's sister Frankie said as she entered the coffee shop.
Especially if London's talking about locking up customers to keep them here.
The older man chuckled and shook his head at them.
You girls make me laugh every time I come in here.
Tough job, but we try. How have you been, Dali?
London listened to the exchange between the two while taking in Frankie's military-issue shorts and camouflage tank top. How could anyone could wear such an ugly color of green and still look feminine? Somehow Frankie pulled it off, though. Her twin was the most rough and tumble of them all, but London knew her sister hid a soft side beneath the tough shell. The scars Frankie carried visibly were nothing compared to the pain and damage they represented.
I'm good. Can't look at those two and not feel good. The man pointed a finger toward the animals.
Frankie moved deeper into the interior.
They are pretty cute together.
Rocco's people must be visiting again.
London crossed her arms over her front and sighed.
I really don't want to call again, but I guess I have to, don't I?
Maybe not. If the timing is right, I can follow him home and see where he lives, Frankie said.
That's a good idea. I am really curious. You want some coffee?
Oh yeah.
Strong and black.
This late in the afternoon.
You know my thoughts on that.
Frankie leaned against the counter beside Dali, nudging the older man with an elbow.
Blondie here believes only uptight type of personalities drink black coffee.
Is that true?
Dali asked, amusement lighting his tired, darkly shadowed eyes.
Frankie grinned and winked at the man.
You got a big project you're working on?
Dali asked.
Several, but not today.
Just playing catch up.
I need to put in some hours at the shop and make sure the monkeys didn't get too crazy while I was away. Today was my volunteer day.
The reminder explained Frankie's freshly washed and still damp hair.
Frankie was hands-on and didn't mind getting dirty, so she'd often wound up far from the hurricane relief setups, handing out bottled water or helping with paperwork, instead jumping in the trenches mucking out waterlogged homes.
With so much damage, homes were still being repaired as a new hurricane season kicked into gear.
What was it today?
More demo? Frankie shrugged like it was no big deal that she voluntarily donned protective clothing and breathing masks to go in and clean out dangerous mold for total strangers. Yeah. The vultures are really circling, trying to buy up houses for nothing, because of the damage and the financial strain families are feeling having to pay a mortgage on a house they can't live in, while trying to pay rent somewhere else to keep a roof over their heads and deal with insurance companies, some of which are really shady. It amazes me how disaster brings out the best in some, but the worst in others. London paused long enough to shoot Frankie a look of pride and genuine love. Her sister had followed in their father's footsteps and enlisted at 18, served her country for 10 years, then got out a year ago after being injured when the convoy she was traveling in struck an IED. Though the scars weren't visible unless Frankie donned a two-piece, the damage had been severe, though mostly internal. Once she'd recovered, Frankie had settled in Carolina Cove in time to assist with hurricane recovery, and put her mechanics training and experience to use by buying out a tow and repair shop that hired vets like her. What? Frankie looked from London to Dally. Why is she looking at me like that? Dally shook his head at her and took another sip before saying, "Girl, you ought to recognize love when you see it." "What he said," London said simply. Frankie, the sister most uncomfortable with her emotions, rolled her eyes. "Yeah, whatever. Hey, face it. You're a pretty cool person to have as a twin. I appreciate the fact you've never been boring. That's all." "Okay." Frankie raised a dark and well-groomed eyebrow. Of the five sisters, Frankie's hair was the darkest, a deep chocolate brown that made her blue eyes stand out even more. London's hair was a lighter brown, while Carolina's, Holland's, and Ireland's ranged from sandy brownish blonde to auburn. "So what about you?" Frankie asked Dally. "You feeling okay today?"
"I'm good."
London busied herself with fetching Frankie's coffee.
"You sure? You're looking a little pale considering all of that sun out there."
"I'm fine, hun, just some old issues catching up with me."
"Well, if there's anything we can do to help, say the word."
"Absolutely," London said, handing over the oversized cup. "You're part of our family now, and don't you forget it."
Dally frowned and became misty-eyed once more.
"Ah, you girls. You don't know what that means to me. I hope one day my son finds a sweet girl like one of you."
Frankie winked at London and straightened on the stool, a teasing, ornery expression falling into place.
"Oh yeah. Which one?"